We are called to preach the gospel with power. What we've done, and we talked about this last week, neutralized by good intentions, we've substituted the gospel for a gospel of what we can do with some anointing. Amen? But what God wants to do is he wants full-blown power. Say power. It's the gospel of demonstration that's going to change and affect this city. If we don't have the compass for it, we'll never walk in it. That's what people think. Well, it'll just fall out of the sky. You have to have a compass. It's got to live and breathe in you and word. We have to carry that. We carry it through fire. We carry it through water. We carry it and say we're not going to deviate from the course. I don't care what kind of war we're in. We are not going to deviate. We're going to stay on course until the fullness of this releases into the city. Now, I'm going to show you that prototype today from the word of the Lord. Now, since we talked about Lazarus on Thursday night and just looked into some of the things that took place in the raising of the dead, I'll start there. Go to John 11. I'll start where we left off, and I'm going to show you the effect of that miracle of raising the dead went far beyond just that incident. It continued to roll and roll and roll, and we're going to look into that today. John 11, verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, John 11, 44, came forth bound. This is 4 days in the grave. How'd you like that kind of miracle? How'd you like to have seen that? What would that have done to your faith? What did it do to the people around them? What did it do to Jerusalem? Because before long, everybody heard about it. And it said his face was bound about with a napkin. Look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Did you hear that? They saw the things that he did, and then they believed. They saw, and then they believed. They witnessed the power of God in demonstration and believed. There are some of those that probably would not have believed if they would not have saw that miracle. In fact, when he stood in front of the nobleman, he told him, he goes, unless you see signs and miracles, you're not going to believe. He knows there's a whole sect of society, you can't even reach them with your words. With your theological arguments, no matter how high your doctrine is, you can't sit there and argue with a Muslim that's ready to give his life for Allah. When you can demonstrate the power in front of them, they're going to say, my God can't do that. Look down at verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. Councils. All they do is they're trouble. Lots of councils are trouble. Not every council's trouble, but religious councils are trouble. Trust me. And said, what do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. For we let him thus alone, all men will believe upon him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. They were more concerned about their platform than they were entering into the things of God, even though they witnessed. Some of them saw Lazarus raised from the dead, but they were more worried about their platform. Now, they went back to Bethany, and I'm going to pick that up in chapter 12. You'll go to chapter 12, verse 9. Let's watch what happens, because this is preceding the triumphant entry of Christ. You remember when they put the palm branches on him, and he's riding in with the donkey and all those people? Hell, do you know that half of those people were there to see the man Christ raised from the dead? Half of them were there. For that very reason, they came out not only to see Christ, but they wanted to see the man that was raised from the dead. Everybody heard about it. That's what drew the crowd for his triumphal entry. Powerful. We don't even think like that. So with the church, boy, you watch what slips into churches these days. Church growth seminars. I never hear, we're going to grow and build this church by the raw power of God. That's the end of the message right there. We can say it in 3 seconds. No, we got all this other stuff to get them in. It's replacement. It's substitution. And it's not impressive to the world. They keep on going the way they were going. There's nothing that's rattled their cage. So look at chapter 12, verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, speaking of Lazarus, John 12 and 9, and they came not for Jesus' sake only. See that? not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests consulted, I love them. You gotta love these guys. That they might put Lazarus to death also. This is what councils do for you. We're gonna have council meeting. Chief priests. We're gonna have to put him to death. I don't know. I mean, I would have said, hey, wait. He was already dead 4 days. You're going to kill a man that was dead 4 days? Yeah, we're going to kill the other one that raised him from the dead. He is the resurrection. You can't kill something that raises things from the dead. You see how religion can blind. Because this is why they wanted to put him to death right here. You ready? Look at verse 11. That by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They hated Lazarus because he came out of that grave, and many of the people that were running their circles departed and said, your religion doesn't have what he has. I'm sorry. I'm out of here. They left the Pharisees and it caused hatred. You know, those Pharisees, every one of them could have been accepted by the Lord, and he could have taught and trained them how to do what he did. They were so busy keeping their platform, they didn't know God was offering them a greater platform. One of power, not just of words and tradition. They weren't willing to go across the line. We have churches full of leadership like that. We want to do it our way. We don't want to offend. Listen, this gospel will offend. It will smack people in the face. But it also set them free. When you get someone that's hurting, they don't care. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I can't wait till creative miracles. You know what I'm going to do? We're going to have a whole church full of people that don't have a clue in the world what I'm going to say. And I'm going to make them sit there and listen to me for a whole hour talk about the right hand of God. And they're like, they're not even saved. What is the world? I don't care. I've got cancer. And I already know that Uncle Johnny got healed, and I'm here to get healed, so just listen on. Then they're going to have to go through the altar call. Then they're going to get to see the power of God, because that's what they're going to be here for. That's how they're going to get converted. Hallelujah. Now, he goes in, if you read that through, he goes on into Jerusalem. Now, he's got the waving of the palm branches. He's in the triumphant entry. He's riding the donkey. He's coming in. Crowds are everywhere. They're laying the palm branches on the ground. Now, look what happens here. And Jesus, verse 14, when he had found the young colt, sat thereupon, and it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh upon a colt, upon a donkey. Wow. Look at verse 17. And the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. You see that? They had heard, so they filled the streets of Jerusalem at his triumphant entry because they had heard that he had done this miracle. You're going to hear it and you're going to see it. You're going to see multitudes drawn by what they hear and what they see. First power, then salvation, miracles. Hallelujah. Now, let's shift to Mark chapter 3, verse 7. And Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, look at this, and a great multitude, say great multitude. Most of his great multitudes were 15,000 and above. That wouldn't be a bad meeting, would it? Watch this. Great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from San Antonio, and from Dallas, and from Galveston, and from Beaumont, and from Austin, Baytown, Pensacola, there you go. Tyre and Sidon. Now here's why they were following him. Ready? When they had heard what great things he did, they didn't get a television advertising a meeting without power. They had already heard what he did. They came out of their cities because they knew power was flowing. That's why they were around him, because of what he was releasing. He said, as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. Look at this, verse 9. I love these orators. He preached in a ship because they didn't have microphones in those days, and the water causes his voice to reverberate, and it was like an amplifier. And that's why he would preach in a ship. No. He was preached in a ship because they pushed him to the sea and thronged him. I have another message I'm going to preach soon called The Press, The Gospel of Astonishment. Watch what happens. This is why he got in the boat. Yeah, I could do a visual. I could get all these sections to start pressing upon me and pushing and pushing and pushing. All the mighty apostles all started as ushers. If you want to be in a mighty apostle, every one of them were his ushers, and they were in charge of crowd control. That's exactly what they were called to do. Crowd control. Watch what happens. When they had heard what great things he did, verse 9, and he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait upon him because of the waters and the amplification of the waters, because we didn't have microphones and it's just better hearing quality if we can get out on a ship. Said a small ship should wait upon him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. Have you ever been thronged? That you're pressed so sore. Listen, when the needs of humanity start getting met at that level, they will bring everybody out. The ones in their houses, the aunts, the uncles, the sons, the daughters, they will grab them. They don't care what you believe. They know the power's flowing. They will get them up in here. And they will throng you. They pushed him out into a boat. And he says, man, the only way we're preaching to these guys today is get that ship ready right now. They're coming. That's what it's like to be around him. Lest they should throng him, for he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. They were grabbing him and tearing at him, and he had to get in the ship. That's exactly what it was like being around him. Wasn't nice little Jesus? Oh, you sit down now. We're going to teach you today. They thronged him. Power of God was flowing out of him 24/7. Had to get in the ship to get off. I guarantee you half of them, the front rowers, were standing in knee-deep water. Probably the front rowers were up here in water. I would imagine the front rows in Christ's ministry would just jump on out. That's where I'd have been. If he told me to go back, if I said I'm going to follow you and go back, I'd just tell him, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow you anyway. That kind of power, you got to get around it. That kind of visitation didn't come very often. Go to John chapter 2. I'm going to kick it in gear here. I want to get you into Acts here. Awesome. Well, you see with Acts, how they converted whole cities. They didn't do it with theological arguments. I can tell you that right now. This is good for your compass. Let this stuff sink in, because this is where we're going. Amen. John 2 verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw, when they what? Saw the miracles that he did, direct salvation, because they saw the miracles. They saw, they believed upon him because they saw. Go to John chapter 6, verse 2. And a great multitude. Say great. There we go. Another great multitude. John 6 followed him. Followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on those who were diseased. Why did they follow him? Because they saw. I guarantee if Christ came without power, he would have not had that impact. Even though he could declare him the Son of God, he goes, the works that I do, they will testify that I've come from the Father. He even said this in John 10. He says, if you don't believe what I say to you, then believe the works. because they will testify of me. That's how he preached the gospel. He said, I'm telling you, I was sent from the Father. But if you cannot believe what I say, then you're going to see the works and believe them. Because no man can do these things. How do you like to preach the gospel like that? We will and are and continue to preach the gospel like that. But it's going to have to come to the creative realm. You can go before the city. You can get on CNN. Because they like to have theological debates so they can get you all in snares. So look, let's just not do that. Just bring somebody out here. You choose them. Just let my doctor... I'll have my doctor with me. I said, let him just examine. You choose who it is. I'll have him examine. I said, let me just show you the kingdom. I said, we can just not have to go through a whole hour. I'll just show it to you. And we'll let everybody watch it. And watch the arms straighten out and the body straighten out and the cripple get up. And then their eyes go, hubba, hubba, hubba. I said, you know, you can pray in tongues with us too. Hubba, hubba, hubba. Go to Acts. You know how many times that they said they were astonished beyond astonishment? Oh, let me show you one that was astonished. Go to Acts 13. You're going to like this one. This is a showdown here. I like this because I am looking so forward to operating like this. Warlocks, they came out. Warlocks, witches, sorcerers. They'd come out try to withstand the power of God. This is an awesome, awesome story of one that did. Now, he was standing with a deputy. See, they get around people in high places, in governmental places. You don't believe it because you see the nice face, but a lot of them surround themselves with all kinds of stuff, all kinds of people. Don't be naive. Three main characters. Paul, Bar-Jesus, his name, or Elymas, the sorcerer. And then you have Sergius Paulus, the deputy of the country. Now, Paul's going to come there and witness to him, but he's going to have an encounter with a warlock. And I love what happens. Acts 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. You know what we'd do? We'd call our intercessors. There's a sorcerer in our midst. Pray that he doesn't get on me. Paul said, come on, get in my presence. Come on. Whole different operation. False prophet, a Jew who was named Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country. That sorcerer was planted with the deputy. They're planted with people in high places to help them make decisions for darkness. That's what was going on. The deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. He was wise, but he had a sorcerer with him. A lot of them do. Don't be naive. That's going to change too. We're going to get some prophets standing next to these people, real ones, with some power, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord. But Elymas, Bar-Jesus, the sorcerer, for so his name was by interpretation, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now, he stood up in there. Now, before, there was nobody with power, so he didn't have any problem, but he didn't know who he was about to get in front of. And so Paul was determined, because the Holy Spirit led him, to witness to Sergius Paulus, to get this man of authority. God was always putting Paul in front of people of authority, always. He had an anointing to get in front of people with authority and preach the gospel to them. Watch this. And Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. I wish I would have been there to see it. I just hear the Spirit of the Lord said, you're going to see it. When you have power, you're going to get to confront darkness. And he said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil. Now, we just need to love them. Listen, you have to confront that kind of spirit. You're not going to love a sorcerer. He want to kill you in a heartbeat. You confront him with the power of God. He says, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell upon him mist in a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. That devil thought he was going to stand up in there and keep Paul from witnessing to Sergius Paulus. He stood right there next to him. He said, this is my place. And Paul said, oh, no, it's not. Thou shalt be blind. Cast that darkness upon him. He's walking around stumbling like this. Where is the light? Where is the light? Sergius Paulus, Paul didn't even have to witness. All he had to do is that right there. Didn't have to get in a theological debate. Look what happened to him. Verse 12, and the deputy, when he saw, say, saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The gospel of astonishment converted a man in high places, at the same time took down a sorcerer. That's apostolic power right there. That's what's going to get the job done. If we don't have it, we need to have a compass for it and say, I'm not going to build any other way but what I see right here. Y'all remember in Acts 3, man 40 years said he was crippled from birth, 40 years at the gate beautiful. You remember Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I got it, boy. You're with the right person today because I have it. I give to you, rise up and walk. Instead, a whole multitude of people come around him. Peter started preaching a second message on the right hand of God and Christ's resurrection. And it drew the attention of the priest and everybody, because this was done in the courts there at the temple. And the whole multitude, and see, the Bible says in Acts 4 that 5,000 people were born again off one miracle of raising that man. And it shook the chief priest so much they brought him before the council. And Peter had a boldness on him. He said, look, point his finger at him. It be known unto you that Jesus, who you crucified, made this man whole. And they had to recognize a notable miracle was done in their midst. 5,000 people born again. One miracle. How long would they have to do it in our system today to get 5,000 people born again? You know how long it takes to get 5,000 people born again? You know how many programs that takes? How much human sufficiency that takes? You know how much labor and work it takes to get 5,000 people born again? One miracle from one man, one sermon, 5,000. You got a mega church now. That's what the devil doesn't want you to know. Yeah, we know miracles. Yeah, God will do it when he gets ready. He'll just come upon us. Oh, there's no training involved to walk in that kind of power. God will just throw that power on anybody that doesn't know anything about anything. You know what that power does? It immediately sets multiplication, increase in motion. You can't stop what that power does. It sets the, if you don't know how to handle that, it'll set promotion. You'll get promoted overnight. Overnight you will go, and you have to handle people because now everybody wants a piece of that. A lot of people will be coming in. You think they're your best friend because they want what's on your life, but they don't care about being with you. They're just there to steal. A lot of people come up in the church acting like they are somebody. The image deficit disorders. You ever heard of an image deficit disorder? They want an image, and they want the power on you to get an image. You don't discern them, they'll rob you and take that stuff before you even know it. You have to be trained for that. There's training involved. But God wants to do it. Amen. Isn't that good? I want you to see this one. Go to Acts chapter 8. There's another sorcerer. Verse 5. This is when Philip went to Samaria. Verse 5, then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Look at this, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. Say hearing and seeing. If he would have just walked up there and spoke, that city would not have got converted no more, and this city's getting converted. We have churches everywhere. We've got television everywhere. But the conversion's not taking place because they haven't seen power like God wants to bring it. Say, bring it, Lord. For unclean spirits. See, churches don't want this. They don't want to see devils coming out of people. Reality is they don't want people that doesn't have it together. They like people coming into the church that already has it together. Someone that doesn't have it together has got like seven devils like Mary Magdalene, whom the Lord appeared to first. He honored her. Well, you know, we don't do your kind of ministry. Unclean spirits coming out of them. Crying with a loud voice. Came out of many that were possessed. Many were lame and healed. Look at verse 13. And Simon himself believed. Look at verse 9. But who also certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. So he was a sorcerer set over the city. Witchcraft set over the city. He was so impressed with Philip. He said, I'm coming to you. Simon gets converted. The sorcerer, witchcraft gets unseated from the very top of the city because somebody came in there with some power. You see the picture? Look at verse 13. Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized, and he continued with Philip. Why? And wondering and beholding the miracles and signs that were done. Simon's converted because he was wondering and beholding the miracles and signs that were done. Love it. Acts 9. I want you to see the connection with power, multitudes, and salvation. It's power, multitudes, salvation. Not power, human works, human programs, multitudes, and salvation. It's power first. I did not come to you in word only, but in demonstration and in power. You have to want it with everything in you. You have to have the ability to stay with it, not be sidetracked. Stay. Hold it in promise form. Hold the Constitution. And say, this is our Constitution. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will walk in the power of God and the fullness thereof. Sorcerers will be converted. Demon possessed will come out. Devils will come out. The lame and the maimed, the blind and the dumb will be healed. I like that. This is Aeneas. And he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. How'd you like to live 8 years? Bed. Can't move. Somebody else has to move you around. I remember when Pastor Chuck, and this is serious moment, we were on jet skis and we had an accident out on Lake Conroe and it broke ribs, 4 ribs, hip. I mean, just crazy. Pulled him out of the water. He goes, I'm good. Just get me home. I'll be fine. I'm like, you're going to the hospital. Broke ribs and everything. And he had to have people take care of him. For Monk, and he said, the humility of that, having somebody having to, you know, take care of you everywhere, even you had to, all that kind of thing. It's just crazy. For 8 years, that man lived like that. Who's going to contend for those? He found a certain man named Aeneas, kept his bed 8 years and was a paralytic. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, oh, Peter was moving in it. Jesus Christ, make thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Hallelujah. Look what happens to the city now. And all, say all. Does your Bible say all? That dwelt in Lydda and Saron, two cities, saw him and turned to the Lord. Two cities converted. One miracle. Turned the whole city to the Lord. If he wouldn't have got out of that, those cities, it's a fact, would not have turned to the Lord. They saw it. There is a gospel that people are going to get to see. And it's not a personality sitting in a pool, but they're going to see raw power. And they're going to turn. When he went to Iconium and preached, he said half the city converted. Half stayed, half went with Paul. I would take 50% of the city of Houston, Texas, in a heartbeat. That'd be a nice-sized church. Half the city converted Iconium because the power of God was in demonstration. Acts 9. Love this one. Stay in the same chapter, verse 39. Now, this is when Tabitha, or Dorcas, she died. She was a widow, very beloved in the city. Verse 39. Then Peter arose. And they called for him out of Joppa. They went and got him and said, we need you. Verse 39, he arose and went with him, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showed the coats and the garments which Dorcas made, which she was with them all. That's good when everybody's weeping, but none of them believe that that woman's going to get raised from the dead. And Peter put every one of them out of the house, just like the Lord did at Jairus' house. All of you, I love you. I appreciate the fact you love her, but you got to go out. Well, we're intercessors. Not that kind of intercessor. Can't handle it. Out. Say out. When you see me again, I'll bring her with me. He knew you got to get the unbelief out of the room, not all tears. Or ones that can help you. You cannot have. We saw that with Lazarus. All kinds of stuff was getting up in Jesus' face and the raising of Lazarus. You can't have all that. You got to have an atmosphere of faith. You can't everybody say some widow boo-hooing over her best friend. You got to get that out of the room. Not for raising of the dead, you do. I'm just telling you. Amen? And Peter put them all forth. Didn't leave one of them in the room. Kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. Man, who can describe that? For the Holy Ghost to operate through you like that. For someone that's been dead, opens their eyes. To be able to take her out of that room and present her to all those widows that are crying. Who can describe the honor that God would give for us to be used of the Holy Spirit like that? I feel the anointing on that. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, all the saints and widows that he put out of the house, presented her alive, and it was known, listen to this, always look at what happened. It was known throughout Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. Many believed in the Lord. It was known everywhere. Do you know it got so intense with the Lord's ministry, he had to start telling those that were being healed, tell no man. You ever read that? Tell no man that this happened, because the crowds were thronging and pressing him. He would run into a room and says, tell no man I'm in here. And the Bible says he could not be hid. The press was getting so strong and the thronging was so strong that he would straightly tell him when he healed that leper, he straightly told him, do not tell anybody. And what did he do? Ran out and told everybody. And the Bible says he couldn't even come back into the city, but had to remain outside the city because of the press. Wouldn't let him in the city. His own family couldn't get to him. His mom said, I am his mother. That's fine, but there is no room to get you through the door. That's when they had to tear the roof off to get that guy in. Man, it's intense. You walk around that kind of anointing, yeah, you're ready for the Holy Ghost to fall like that. When the Holy Ghost fall, they watched it for 3.5 years. This was my complaint before God. I said, that's great for the apostles. They got to watch that for 3.5 years, all day, all night. You subjected their belief system to 100-fold mantle. They got to watch it, live it, breathe it, touch it, taste it. You're asking us to look into faith by it. I can't even find 100-fold mantle unless I want to go down in the jungle. Somebody like David Hogan that probably tells you, get back where you belong in America. But doesn't even like us. Says, we know what we're doing here. He don't like a powerless church. I don't really blame him, really. I said, Lord, how are we ever going to see that kind of thing? And you know what he told me? He said, my word is just the powerful mirror is being in person, if you'll look into it. He said, subject yourself and see it, and see it, and see it, and let it change. Jesus was always demonstrating, right? Always. You remember the same place where they tore the roof off, lowered the paralytic down? He was right in the middle. He said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And all the original, ho, 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 boh, who can forgive sin but God? He goes, that you may know that I have power to forgive sin. And he put him right in front of everybody. He did this a lot. And he put him right in front of everybody. He said, which is easier? For this man to get up and walk or to forgive his sins? Ask them. Then he asked me one time, which is easier for you? Get somebody born again to know their sins have been forgiven or get that man? I said, Lord, you don't have to ask me that question. He said, it was all the same to me. He goes, but if you'll let me train you and you stay with me, it will be the same. It will be just as easy by the power and the operation of the Holy Ghost to get somebody off of that deathbed, if you would, or to lead somebody and see their eternal spirit brought from death to life, raised forever into the right hand of God through a born-again experience. Isn't that good? Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. That's what we want. That's the kind of power we want to move into, and it's awesome, and we're excited about it.